it's not the right word, to bring together the various passages that Jesus, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter have spoken of here, and to help us to understand, get rid of all the smoke and mirrors, all the shrouding of symbolism and all of that. We can't look at the symbolism until we've got the hard, clear, black letter words of Christ and the apostles down pat. And that's what you have done. Now, in 70 AD, the Roman general Titus came through and destroyed Jerusalem. He was so summarily successful, he virtually wiped every stone off the face of the earth, so to speak, of the temple, the synagogues. There was no more Jewish nation, was there?
Correct. He was so exasperated with the Jews, with the way they fought. He had four legions of legionnaires and all of their siege machines, and still the Jews took refuge in the temple as a last resort to fight to the last man. And he just had it with him, and he was so put out when he finally defeated him that he ordered that the temple be completely torn down, not one stone left upon another.
This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And, of course, shortly, hopefully, there'll be the views of Pastor David Whitney. But before David comes on the line, I just want to talk a little bit about what so many people are concerned about, and that is the skyrocketing oil prices. And, of course, certainly we find that the oil prices are going up, and it's impacting on truck drivers, it's impacting on the price of gas. Jet fuel influencing what the price of diesel is that's going to be used by our farmers, and the oil price is really impacting on every American. Now, the president says that he's going over to Saudi Arabia at the present time. He's leaving for a trip to the Middle East, and there he's going, of course, to try to talk the Saudis into producing more oil, because if there's more oil, why, of course, the price will come down. And yet, the president, over the objection of members of Congress and the Senate, insists on continuing to take oil out of the market and put it into the Strategic Oil Reserve. And as a result of that, why, we find out that we are actually rising the price of oil by what the government is doing. They're buying oil at the highest levels ever recorded and putting it into the strategic reserves. What we ought to be doing would be actually lowering the price of oil. And if we were lowering the price of oil. We would be releasing oil from the strategic reserves, and then, of course, there'd be more oil, and the price would go down. We are creating an artificial shortage to drive the price up. At the same time, we're trying to make the American people believe the administration wants to bring the price down. And, of course, this gives hypocrisy a bad name. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand that there is no shortage of oil. Those of you who have not heard my interviews with Lindsay Williams need to hear them. He'll be with us, I think, later this week. But basically, we have a four-tape set on oil where you'll hear my interviews with Lindsay Williams. We carry his book, The Energy Non-Crisis. We are actually have a four-tape set on oil where you'll actually hear a representative of the oil wildcatters, the group that would ordinarily be drilling for oil. But, of course, everything is being done by the cartel, the oil cartel, made up of the five major producers to prevent any competition. Now, the wildcatters say, look, if you can give us a floor of $25 a barrel for oil, and this is what they were saying about 2 years ago, why, you'll have more oil than you need to. But if you don't have that floor, why, as soon as we begin producing oil, immediately the big oil companies will come in, as they have repeatedly in the past, drop the price of oil down to $10 a barrel, put us out of business, and then jack the price up again. We want a floor for oil, $25 maybe at the present time. This was about 2 years ago, maybe $50 a barrel for oil. But, of course, this would get it into a price they could make a profit. But the big oil companies are our cartel, and they don't want competition. And that's what a cartel is all about, and that's the truth of the matter is we're being lied to by our leaders who protest to be oh so concerned about the suffering high oil prices are bringing. And yet, of course, they're making out like bandits. Remember, the Bush family made their money in oil. And Dick Cheney, the vice president, was the president of Halliburton, which deals with oil fields and production of oil fields. And that's where he made his money. In fact, after he became vice president, for many years he received something called delayed pensions or delayed payments on his salary. How could he be working as the vice president and be getting these, the term was deferred payments. Deferred payments. They didn't pay him when he was working for Halliburton. They paid him after he came to work for the United States government. Ladies and gentlemen, we got corruption at the highest levels of our government, and we'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We seem to be having a little difficulty finding Pastor David Whitney, so we'll just keep right on trying to reach him. But under any circumstances, why, we do hope that those of you who are out there in the listening audience will begin thinking about what we have said. There is an abundance of oil. We have oil off both the East Coast and the West Coast, and it's not being drilled. But the greatest oil stores that we have are up in Alaska and off the North Shore of the Prudhoe Bay. And about 3 miles off of Prudhoe Bay is an island called Gull Island. And those of you who have never read the book, it's entitled The Energy Non-Crisis by Lindsay Williams. Need to get a copy. It's available through Radio Liberty. And basically, the story is this, that when Lindsay Williams was working as a chaplain on the oil line in the 1970s, why, he had actually had an opportunity to witness when they tapped into this massive oil field off of the North Shore of Prudhoe Bay, and they were really excited. It was the biggest oil find that would have made America energy independent for decades to come. And he was told that this was the greatest oil find of all time in the North American hemisphere, and suddenly rivaled the oil that's available in Saudi Arabia. And the following day, he was told never to mention that. And, of course, because the man, Mr. Ken Fromm, who worked for Atlantic Richfield at the time, had let Lindsay Williams know about this, Mr. Fromm was fired from Atlantic Richfield. And so he helped Lindsay Williams write the book, The Energy Non-Crisis. And then, of course, Atlantic Richfield hired him back just to silence him and gave him a great pension fund and gave him a higher salary just to prevent the information getting out about Gull Island. We are talking about fabulous amounts of oil that have been there since the mid-1970s that have not been developed. And, of course, why? Because the Oil companies make more money when there's shortages, and they make less money when there's abundance. So you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, this is how the game is played. And this is why the oil companies have not developed the oil, why they've blocked the drilling in Anwar. Oh, they pretend they want to get into there and to drill, but the truth of the matter is, if the oil companies really wanted to drill in the Arctic Reserve, they would be drilling in the Arctic Reserve. This is all smoke and mirrors. It's showbiz. It is simply an effort to confuse the American people. So that we believe the oil companies want more oil. Ladies and gentlemen, if they had more oil, the price would come down. And that is the last thing they want. When there's a shortage, the price goes up. When there's abundance, the price goes down. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We seem to be having difficulty reaching Pastor Whitney, so I'm going to open up our telephone lines. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, and we would love to hear from you. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Chris, I guess maybe we're going to have open lines this hour. So give us a call if there's something you'd like to talk about. But I think we have to understand that the rising price of oil is having a profound impact on every aspect of our life. If you know that a number of the smaller airlines have already gone bankrupt, the larger airlines are talking about adding additional charges if you want to take a second bag on the plane. If your bag is over 50 pounds, they're putting extra charges onto our tickets now that cover the cost of the fuel. They can't keep doing this. So under any circumstances, we need, of course, to get the information out. And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you'd like to call in on that subject or any other subject. Anyway, of course, we could talk a little bit about what's going on over in the Middle East. If you'd like to, we can talk about what's happening as far as our economy is concerned. In fact, let's touch on that. Citicorp, which is the largest bank in the United States, has just announced that it's already written off pretty close to $40 billion, and it has $400 billion in bad loans, and it's got to write those off over the next couple of years. And what they're talking about is, of course, trying to sell this, they call it toxic garbage. It's basically the collateralized debt obligations. It is the bonds that they hold that nobody knows what their value is, because nobody knows how many of the people who bought homes are going to default. But an awful lot of them are going to default. And Citibank is talking about $400 billion of toxic garbage that they held that they've got to get rid of. Citicorp, the largest bank in the United States, is frankly insolvent. Bear Stearns, which is the fifth largest bank in the United States, certainly would have collapsed had it not been for the Federal Reserve System's interference and actually lending some $30 billion to J.P. Morgan to try to stabilize that. Bear Stearns now has been absorbed by a J.P. Morgan Chase. Most of our major banks are insolvent in the United States today. But, of course, they're not telling the American people. It is estimated that somewhere between 150 and 300 American banks are going to go under here in the very near future. And the same thing is true over in Europe. The United Bank of Switzerland, which is the third largest bank in the world, has already written off, I think, $36 billion in bad debts, and they have another $72 billion that they're probably going to have to write off here in the not-too-distant future. Now, admittedly, these banks are worth a couple of trillion dollars, both Citicorp and United Bank of Switzerland, but the thing is, of course, as word gets out that these banks are insolvent, more and more people are going to begin pulling their money out of those banks. And as that happens, why, of course, there are more and more troubles. And suddenly you start getting runs on these banks. Why, we find that $2 trillion is down to $1 trillion and then to $500 million. And of course, in the case of Citicorp, they've got $400 billion, almost half a trillion dollars, in bad loans out there. So the whole financial system of the world is in real trouble. General Motors lost over $1 billion in the first quarter of this year. They're having difficulty with strikes at the present time, and their production is down. They're going to lose money again this quarter. You can't lose money quarter after quarter and still survive as a viable corporation. Now, they are making money over in China, and they're the largest producer of cars in China today. You're not hearing about that in the United States. But the United States is transferring, and our major corporations are transferring, their manufacturing out of this country. And if those wildcat strikes keep up here in the United States and the union continues to violate their contracts, then General Motors will move all of its production overseas. And those large cargo ships you see coming into the Golden Gate will be bringing General Motors cars to be sold in the American economy. Even Toyota's production is anticipated to drop about 25% this year. And they're thinking of losing about 25% of what they lost, they made last year. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a subject you'd like to talk about, because for whatever reason our guest for this evening is not here. Certainly, as you begin analyzing what's happened, more and more people certainly are defaulting on their credit card loans. And, of course, what can the companies do? Well, they can try to attach people's wages, but if they don't have any wages, how do you attach them? They can try to attach their homes and things like that, but a lot of people there are having real problems with the value of their homes. And so, and more people are losing their homes. Probably between 2 and 2.5 million people have already had their homes foreclosed on. And according to the Wellington letter, they're anticipating another 8 to 10 million people could lose their homes at a foreclosure in the coming years. And, of course, as the price of homes drops, why, even people who actually have a good income but will find that the value of the home they bought at the top of the cycle, the value of that home is worth nowhere near what their mortgage is. And are they going to continue paying a high mortgage on a home that is worth what they, the mortgage is? And I don't think so. I think this simply compounds itself, and more people begin walking away from their obligations. Well, let's go to Jim, who's calling from Chicago. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Jim. How are you doing tonight?
Pretty good, Dr. Stan.
Do you have a question or comment? Go ahead.
With the current economical problem, and it seems to be getting worse and worse, and no one seems to be giving any solutions for it, what do you think is going to happen with the next 2 or 3 years?
I think we're going to move into a depression. I think that we're going to see increasing social unrest in this country, and I believe that's why they, in the year 2006, they gave Halliburton subdivision, Kellogg Brown and Root, KBR, $385 million to build concentration camps. They know there's going to be social unrest in this country, and more people are going to lose their homes, and more people are going to lose their jobs. But even more than that, more and more people who've invested in the stock market are going to lose the value of their savings, either because the stock market is going to drop or the dollar is going to continue to drop. And it really doesn't matter which it is. Both of them are. If the dollar drops, it means the purchasing power of their money falls. If the stock market drops, it means anything they have invested in stocks is going to be destroyed. So people who are not taking defensive action right now are going to be in real trouble, and I'm very concerned about the future of our country. I also think that there's an excellent chance that they will try to expand the war in the Middle East as the diversions of the American people will not understand what's happening, and as our attention is focused on the Middle East, we're not going to be as concerned about the impending crisis here at home. How's that for an answer?
That's a very good answer. And my last question, with all these disasters what happened in China, what happened in Burma 10 days ago, what do you think that's happening? Do you think it's something that's man-made or just the fact that God is very angry with the people on Earth?
No one knows. We do know that they have the ability to create earthquakes. We do know that they have the ability to create storms and droughts. Mm-hmm. How can we make that statement? Very simply, because Zygmunt Bzezinski in his book, Between Two Ages, You know, said that, and I think it's about page 59 in the book, but it's somewhere between 55 and 65. In a footnote at the bottom of the page, he makes the statement that in the future, it is claimed that we will be able to create storms and droughts and create new chronic diseases to disable the enemy. Well, we know they've created all sorts of new chronic diseases here. I mean, chronic fatigue is a new disease, and fibromyalgia is a new disease, and AIDS is a new disease, and Lyme is a new disease, and Morgellons is a new disease, and Ebola, is a new disease. And so they are actually, we know that they have scientists working on creating new diseases. In fact, if you doubt that, there's the article, it's on the Project for the New Americans website, Project for the New American Century website, and of course that is the neocon website from which Rumsfeld and Cheney and Paul Wolfowitz, and there were 27 original members of the Project for the New American Century back in 1997, but they wrote something called the Rebuilding America's Defenses, and there they talk about how wonderful it is that pretty soon we're going to be able to create diseases that are specific for race-specific diseases, create diseases that will kill off people of certain races. So this is very, very sophisticated. I believe that they have the ability to actually create cyclones, to create hurricanes, create tornadoes. You ever see as many tornadoes as we're seeing in the United States recently? Are they doing it? It's all classified. We can't let the American people know what they're doing because we don't want Osama bin Laden to find out. So everything is done in secret, but certainly we know, we have a number of things on weather modification. We've got a great DVD. We've got a great book called Weather Modification. We've got a great four tapes out on weather modification. Were these things created? Were they an act of God? No one can say. But I will tell you that we're seeing more and more earthquakes than we've ever seen before, and more terrible, terrible storms and cyclones. People have forgotten that terrible tsunami that we had back, I think it was December of 2005. Over 200,000 people died there, in that terrible tsunami. And now we see what's going on over there in Burma. But I fear that similar things are going to happen right here in the United States. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Jim is gone, so if you're out there and you have a question, let us know. But I believe God is going to bring His judgment on America. For as Thomas Jefferson said, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and His justice will not sleep forever. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our regularly scheduled guest is not here, so it's just you and me. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you have a question, a comment, you agree, you disagree, why, give us a call. But of course, as we look and see what's happening to the financial status of our nation, certainly one of the major employers, one of the major things that we still have here in the United States is airplane production. And Boeing certainly is, I think, probably produces the finest planes in the world, certainly Airbus over in Europe, which is a conglomerate corporation owned by several of the countries over there. They're certainly doing a good job. But now, China. And we've transferred all of our technology over to China, and they know how to build airplanes. And now China has said they're going to actually go into the market of competing with Boeing and Airbus and building planes on their own. Now, the Chinese are very, very intelligent people. And now that we've given them our technology, and they have, of course, a labor force who will work for a fraction of what a labor force in the United States will work for, and of course, the Chinese have bought a number of our planes and reverse engineered them. They know all of our aeronautical secrets. And within the last week, they have actually formed a new aviation company that is going to begin building major planes in direct competition with Boeing and Airbus. So certainly Boeing has made some partnerships with China, but now China's going to go off on its own. And ladies and gentlemen, there is no way, of course, that we can compete with China. And the reason for it is because we've transferred them our technology. And here in the United States, of course, they've got to pay $20-$25 an hour, and probably with benefits, probably $35-$40 an hour for our American workers. And they can hire them over in China for $1 a day. And maybe I think some of the better paid Chinese are even making up to $100 a month. And of course, but of course, there's no benefits at all with that. The government provides everything for them, supposedly, in the communist country. In truth, why, if you want to get medical care, you got to bribe people over there. You want to get anything done, everything is based upon bribes and corruption in a communist nation. Because, of course, a totalitarian breeds, of course, dishonesty, and unfortunately, in a nation where there is no belief in God, where there are no moral standards, why, if you want to get anything done, why, of course, you bribe the people in government, and that's the only way you're going to get anything accomplished. So, I mean, I very much fear that we're going to one day rue the fact that our government subsidized and encouraged corporations to move from the United States to China with this idea that we wanted to produce a global economy, and we were going to be able to prevent the American people feeling the effects of the inflation that was produced by our Federal Reserve System, rapidly increasing the amount of money in circulation. And instead of actually having to have the ravages of inflation here, we were able to import cheap goods from China and from other third world countries, and we're raising the standards of the people there, but we are progressively lowering the standards of people here in the United States. And we're seeing probably the average worker getting a 2 or 3% a year rise in salary, while, of course, inflation destroys that. We're going to be back in a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. This is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we really don't have anything prepared. And so if you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we'd love to hear from you. But basically, we were simply pointing out, well, what you are actually seeing is the fact that the average individual is getting a 2 or 3% a year increase in salary. But with inflation at the present time running over 12%, now the government's not going to admit that, but the government, of course, is lying to us about the degree of inflation. Go to the grocery stores and look at the price of food. Go to the gas station and notice the price of fuel. Now, admittedly, the cost of hockey knee pads has not gone up considerably. They're imported from overseas. They've only gone up, of course, in relation to inflation, because I should say to the fall of the value of the dollar. But so we have people, of course, who are getting a 2 or 3% increase in wages. We have, of course, an inflation of 12%, at least according to Bob Chapman and the Shadow Statistics, John Williams' website, and other people are looking at this, and many, of course, of the people are analyzing what's happening financially in our nation will admit that inflation running at the present time 12%. Not only that, but then you have compounding that influence, the fall in the value of the American dollar, which has lost 17% in relationship to the euro since the beginning of 2007, and over 42% over the last 3 or 4 years. So the value of the dollar is falling, and with that, of course, is the rising then of the price of imported goods. And, of course, not only that, because they're raising the value of the yuan. Now, the Chinese currency has been pegged to the American dollar until recently. But, of course, that peg has been relaxed, and I think the value of the yuan has gone up something like 8% over the last year. So the products of goods coming in from China has gone up 8%. What most Americans don't understand is that the Chinese are taking over so much of the production of medicines. Almost all of the vitamin C that you're going to get in the United States comes from communist China. And many of our pills and medications that are used in this country are coming in from communist China. Why? Because they can produce them so much more cheaply. And so if they're generic drugs, there's an excellent chance they're coming from communist China. And you have no idea, of course, how reliable they are. We've seen with the heparin that Baxter was using. This kills so many people here in the United States. So many of the things that come from China contain lead or other impurities. So the dog food killed literally thousands of dogs. Because, of course, they were putting poisons into the dog food and, of course, increasingly we're getting food out of communist China. We're getting our drugs out of communist China. And where is the outcry from our leaders about that? We're becoming totally dependent upon communist China. Our major manufacturing has left this country. The steel industry has been moved initially to Japan and now into communist China. And, of course, we're getting a lot of our steel from communist China today in competition with our own steel companies because they've relaxed the tariffs. And believe me, there's no way American workers can possibly compete, you know, with workers in China that are getting a dollar or a day or maybe a couple of dollars a day at the most. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. The entire miracle that we see going on in communist China today was financed largely by the United States, by our Federal Reserve System, by the World Bank, which is primarily funded by the United States, by the International Monetary Fund, primarily financed by the United States, by the Export-Import Bank, primarily financed by the American taxpayer and certainly by the Asian Development Bank, which we finance. We have financed what's going on over there. Not only that, but we have guaranteed the American corporations that if their Chinese factories are nationalized, we'll not only give them back all the money they've lost, but two or three times that. If you were certainly an entrepreneur, wouldn't you go to communist China? Wouldn't you set up your factory there? Wouldn't you do everything you could, of course, to maximize your profits by using essentially slave labor in a totalitarian country as long as your government was encouraging you to do it? That's why so many of our industries have moved over. And the only solution would be to institute tariffs to protect our industries, to protect the viability of our production facilities here in America, which are leaving here. You remember Ross Perot talked about that swishing sound? That was American industry leaving. Ross Perot was absolutely right. He was telling the truth. In fact, I interviewed a man named Chip Tatum, who was a CIA assassin, and his job was to kill Ross Perot. He got into real trouble with the CIA because he refused to do it. He talked about it, and his body recently washed up on the beaches in South America. Chip Tatum, we still have my interviews with Chip, a very courageous man who refused to kill Ross Perot. Why? Because Ross Perot was talking about globalism, how it was going to destroy America. Our telephone number, quick, give us a call. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. And this is a good time to call in if you haven't called in before because we don't have anybody on the lines and we don't have anything really prepared to talk about, so we'll be glad to talk about what you'd like to talk about. Under any circumstances, we're simply talking about this whole idea of globalism. And the whole idea of globalism is to actually equalize the incomes in countries throughout the world. And of course, to raise the living standards in Mexico, to raise the living standards in China, to raise the living standards in Thailand and Singapore and in some of the third world countries in South America and in Africa. And you do that, of course, by lowering the living standards of the American people. And although we're still living incredibly well, of course, things are going to change and change very rapidly. Wait till oil gets up to $200 a barrel and you're paying $6 or $8 a gallon for gasoline. Are you going to be taking joy rides? Are you going to be going on vacations? Wait till, of course, the price of airline fare doubles or triples. And there are really people who are saying, we should not be flying as much as we are. people ought to take one flight every lifetime, but we can't have people flying all the time. That is contaminating the atmosphere and using up jet fuel. We've got to get the price of the airline tickets up so much that people will not be flying as readily as they are. And there really are people out there who want to get you out of your car. And if you read the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report, if you read Agenda 21, which direct byproducts of Second Earth Summit that came out of Rio de Janeiro in 1992, you'll find that they really talk about the importance of getting people out of their cars. In fact, here in Santa Cruz, where I live, they came up with an Agenda 21 report, you know, back in the early 1990s, and they openly talk about the importance of getting people out of their cars. And believe me, when the gasoline gets up to $8 a gallon, you know, it's $10 a gallon in Great Britain today. $10 a gallon in Great Britain today, or almost $10 a gallon, and certainly very close to that in many of the other European countries. And one purpose behind that is to get people out of their cars so they'll be easier to control. There really are people who have an entirely different worldview. We'll be back here in just a moment, and we have Ed calling, and we'll be taking Ed's call as soon as we bring all of our other stations back on board. Here's Radio Liberty. Well, we've got Ed calling from Calgary. Hi, Ed. How are you doing up there?
Good evening, Dr. Stan.
How are things up there?
Oh, they're pretty good. You asked last time I called about the weather, and I got a report that looks like we're going to get some decent farmer's weather for a change.
They're predicting
a bumper crop season.
Well, let's hope and pray that it comes through, because I think we're going to need all the bumper crops we can get. And, of course, Ed is from Calgary in Alberta, and, of course, that's a big wheat-growing area. Is that winter wheat or summer wheat that they grow there?
Oh, just summer.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that the crops are coming in. Let's keep our fingers crossed, because we have no backlog of wheat. I mean, a few years ago, why we had, you know, 3-year supply. And, of course, Congress had dictated that America keep a 3-year supply of wheat, but they have actually dissipated all that, and I think we have about a 40-day supply, so we're totally dependent upon bumper crops coming in from Australia. But Australia, of course, has a drought, so we're not going to get it from there. But we are certainly dependent upon on our northern neighbors. So let's just hope that everything goes according to plan. Anything else you wanted to say, Ed?
Yes, Dr. Stan. I called about the oil. We're also pretty deep in oil here.
Right, I know. Of course, you've got those wonderful oil sands there. You are basically, America gets its oil primarily from Canada, from Mexico, from Venezuela, and Nigeria. We don't get that much from Saudi Arabia. Only perhaps 10% of our oil comes from Saudi Arabia and the countries over in that area. That primarily is oil that goes into China and it goes into Europe. But go ahead, Ed.
Yes, well, I just thought I'd let you know we're paying through the nose too here. It's about $5 a gallon if you cut it down to liters and everything, and it's been going up on a daily basis. And I think they're conditioning us to get to accept these daily hikes or very short period hikes, because it's going to happen in food and it's going to happen in rent.
I agree with you totally.
Can I make a comment about the difference between 1929's crash and what we got facing us today?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, back in 1929, if you had a job and you had any kind of income, well, you didn't need to buy gold and silver because your money was gold and silver.
Right.
And today it's quite the opposite. And people in North America are not going to handle it because it's the Weimar Republic. My father went through the Weimar Republic back in the 1920s in Germany. And it got so bad, everybody was a millionaire. You got paid every day, and as soon as you got off of work, you ran over to the grocery store to see what's left on the shelf. And that's why I called in to say to your listeners, the advice you give about getting into gold and silver is worth gold and silver. And thank you for it.
Well, we actually we're here to sort of tell people what's going to happen and hope that they'll make preparation for the difficult times that lie ahead. But of course, also to point out the spiritual forces which are behind everything that's going on today, because and people are going to have a personal relationship with our Lord if they have any hope of getting through. Certainly we want to make all the preparations. We want to have emergency food on hand and water supplies. We want to have certainly gold and silver, but relationship with the Lord is the most important of all.
Oh, yes, it is. Thank you very much for taking the call again, and God bless you, Doctor.
Well, it's always good to hear from you. Keep us posted on what's going up on there.
Good night.
Up there in Alberta, Calgary. Bye-bye.
Alberta, Calgary.
All right, well, let's go to another ad. This one's calling from New York. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Ed, what part of New York are you calling from?
Actually, the Utica area. We're in New Hartford, actually.
All right, fine. You're listening to our big radio station up there in Utica, then, huh? are you listening on the internet?
Yeah. Well, I'm on the radio on WJIV.
Oh, okay, fine. That's the radio station up there in Utica. Okay, fine. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, I just noticed in the paper today in our Utica Observer Dispatch. That there is a family, there's a couple families, I guess, that are looking to get a case against the vaccine, the thimerosal, linked to autism.
Right.
And I was wondering, you know, it says, lawyers for the families will present three different theories of how vaccines caused autism. Do you think there's a chance of their being able to get a win a case here?
Oh, I think that there really is. The question is, who are they suing? Are they suing the vaccine manufacturers? Because you're not allowed to do that ordinarily. Unless, of course, you've gone to the vaccine court and they have turned you down. So, are they producing? Are they suing Eli Lilly? They're the ones, of course, who produced the thimerosal that was put into the vaccines that destroyed the lives of so many children. If we had an honest court, an honest jury, and I really believe that they could make a very good case for this. There's so much information out there. Certainly, we know that the Amish children that actually do not take vaccines don't get the autism that we get. It used to be about 1 in 10,000. Now it's down to about 1 in 160 children. But since it's primarily in boys, something where between 1 in every 65 to 1 in every 90 boys is autistic, and just their whole lives are destroyed, and the lives of the family are destroyed. But there are studies out there, and there are actually government studies that have been thoroughly suppressed. They do not want the people to know. There's a Simpsonville report, which is available up on the Internet. In fact, we have a great DVD. It's called Autism, let's see, Mercury Autism and the Global Population Agenda. It's a talk that's given by Dr. David Ayo, but included with that is a CD-ROM that actually has thousands of pages of various reports, some of them government, some of them non-government, showing the toxicity of thimerosal. They've known that they're poisoning our children, and they've gone ahead and done it anyway. That's what's so unconscionable. And if you've got a good lawyer who cannot be bought off, because usually what happens is they will actually buy the lawyers off and get them to throw the case, or as they did, of course, with the case of aspartame when there were federal prosecutors, they're going to bring charges against J.D. Searle before Donald Rumsfeld became president there. Why, they simply hired the federal prosecuting attorneys to go to work for the defense, and they bought them off. But if we could get a fair trial, I don't think there's any question at all that they could prove that many of the children were autistic. It's directly related not only to the thimerosal, but to the very process of vaccination itself, because vaccination produces inflammation, an autoimmune response within the body so that you will respond, or I should say an immune response in the body, so respond to the bacteria or to the virus. But even more than that, there's a separate immune system within the brain. And that, of course, is triggered by the process of vaccination, but not only by the thimerosal, but by the aluminum they're putting into the vaccines. There is no question at all that there's a close relationship between vaccines and autism. This is well known, but they cannot let the American people know why. Why we'd lose confidence in the government. We'd lose confidence in the U.S. Public Health Service. We'd lose confidence in the Fed Drug Administration. And the truth of the matter is, we shouldn't have confidence in any of them.
Well, I trust that they'll get a fair trial. It says overall nearly 4,900 families have filed claims with the U.S. Court of Claims.
Right. Well, then, is this trial going to be before the vaccine court?
I don't know if it's a vaccine court.
Well, that is, of course, the U.S. Court of Claims. Basically, the last case that was actually tried there, the government conceded it before it ever went to trial, and because they said, of course, that this had to do with an unusual genetic defect this child had, where they had a defective mitochondria, which could be poisoned by the thimerosal, and so that case had been very carefully worked up. They conceded it, so it never went to trial. Now, there may be other cases that are coming up, and I suspect they're before the vaccine court rather than a general court. And there, of course, you do not have a right to a trial by jury, but they actually won the last case. And, of course, everything's been done to play that down. But the government conceded that in that case, why, of course, it was the thimerosal that it created the autism, and I don't know if they decided what they're going to pay the family, but no amount of money will ever compensate for the destruction of the life of a child. And literally millions of our children have been poisoned intentionally, not only by the thimerosal, but by the aluminum in the vaccines and the alum, by the aspartame, by fluoride, by the mercury that they are getting into children through their fillings. And they know exactly what they're doing. They're poisoning our children.
Mm.
In fact, the latest thing is the baby bottles, which contain something called bisphenol, and which is a hormonal. And, of course, if you take a plastic baby bottle and you heat it up, why, it releases the bisphenol. It is a hormone, a feminizing hormone, and it's carcinogen. It affects the sexuality of the child, and this may be one reason why we are having so many people who are transsexual now. It disrupts the hormones in little girls. They have an extra X hormone. And if you haven't heard my interview with Robert Weiss, you really need to get that. And this is simply one more reason, one more way they're poisoning our children. The FDA has been bought off, and the companies have figured that, well, they make a lot more money by continuing to produce the plastic baby bottles, and this is specifically the ones, of course, that are clear plastic and that are very very hard, and they're the ones that release the bisphenol. So they're really out to get our children. They're doing a good job of it, destroying their lives. And do you know a better way to destroy a nation than to destroy a generation of children?
Well, it seems like everything you hear is destroying us as a nation.
You're absolutely right. We're under attack. We're under attack from within today. Anything else, Ed?
You mentioned aluminum.
Right.
And I understand that they used to use aluminum sulfate to settle the turbidity in water.
I think they still do. I think you're getting aluminum out of your water as well.
Is that something that is in our water supply?
Yes, then? Yes, it is.
So we got to do something using
we have a
great water filter or something else, right?
Right. We have a great 4-tape set on Alzheimer's disease, and there we interview a fellow who talks about the aluminum in the water supply, put in there to clear the water, but also, of course, it contributes to Alzheimer's disease.
Hmm.
Anything else, Ed?
I think that's about it, Dr.
God bless. Thanks
so
much.
Thank you very much. I enjoy your program. Try to listen to it every day.
Hey, thank you so much. Good night and God bless.
Bye.
Well, let's go to Jane, who's calling from Spokane. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And hi, Jane. How are you doing?
Hello, Dr. Stan. It's good to hear from you.
Oh, who have we talked to?
That last caller really sort of depressed me, but it's just a shame what's going on, how they're just wiping out our children. And The reason why I called, you mentioned Gene Chip Tatum.
Yes.
Was found dead.
That's what Ted Gunderson told me.
A couple years ago or this year?
Apparently it's fairly recently. Ted Gunderson told me that. Ted has some extensive interviews, video interviews with Chip Tatum. I just had a couple of radio interviews with him.
And yeah, I'm looking here. I went to, the name rang a bell, so I picked up Rodney Stitch's book, Defrauding America,
right.
And I just happened just to turn right to it on page 456. There's a picture of Chip Tatum. And, on page 457, on the next page, the sentence reads, to quote you verbatim, Tatum said that he left the operation in 1992 after he was instructed to, quote, neutralize Ross Perot in whatever manner required. Possibly this plan explains Perot's sudden dropping out of the presidential race.
That's exactly why he dropped out of it.
No one leaves the operation and that he would pay the consequences.
Right.
So I was saddened to hear that... you know, they found his body washed up. Where did you say, South America?
This is what Ted said. It was washed. His body was washed ashore.
Yeah.
They kill, you know, if you are an assassin for the government, and, of course, you don't take a contract, and especially if you come out and go on to talk radio and tell the truth, they're going to kill you. They're going to track you down no matter where you are in the world and going to kill you. And this is the way it really works today.
You know, by the way, one last thing I want to mention. I caught the documentary by Robert Greenwald called The Iraq for Sale, The War Profiteers.
Right.
And it's a 76-minute film. It came out, I believe, in 2006. And I just caught it on my movie channel last night. I played it back-to-back immediately. And I tell you, if you're not aware of it, anybody out there, every politically concerned American should see Iraq for Sale, The War Profiteers.
It's fully filmed
in Iraq. And it just broke my heart into pieces. I went into work today with just a depressed mindset of just what is really going on over there. I mean, we see the bumper stickers. We support our troops. But I tell you, if you know what's going on over there, there's no way you can possibly, you know, make that statement. I mean, all these families that have just lost their boys over there, these mothers, on Mother's Day of all day, I'm watching this last night, these mothers just crying about how their sons were just set up to die.
Yeah.
And, I tell you, it's very powerful.
I don't know. Is this on television? Is it available on DVD?
I would imagine it is. It takes some looking.
Where did you actually see this?
I watched my Comcast channel.
Do you recall?
It was a free movie, so I just kind of locked into it. And the title sounded interesting, and I had no idea what I was going to be watching. But I'm sure it was for Iraq for Sale, The War Profiteers by Robert Greenwald.
All right, fine.
They go to Halliburton. They talk about all the 100,000 private contractors over in Kuwait and Iraq, and just what is going on over there, and just everything from you name it.
I share your concern. I'm going to have to let you go.
It's very, very powerful, and every American, I tell you, every spouse that has a husband over there in Iraq needs to see this film.
Okay, I'm going to have to let you go, John.
Radio Liberty catalog. Unfortunately, it's not on there, but...
Well, we're going to have to let you go because we got a whole board full of people, but we're going to have to let you go. God bless. Bye-bye. And let's go to... is this Charles?
That's right. It's Charles. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Do you have a quick question? We're almost
out of time. Quick question. Thanks for all you do, Dr. Stan. God bless you. Tell me a little bit about Leo Zagami. I think he's a real deal. Number two, if you could, I know I'm putting him in your spot. Speak a little bit, if you can, about Planet X 2012.
Well, first of all, I talked to Leo Zagami.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. Well, Leo Zagami claims he was part of the Illuminati. I've interviewed him. I just don't know. Maybe he's exactly who he says he is. I hope you want to get his interview. You'll know as much as I do. But he claims he was part of the P2 Lodge. He was part of the... you know, a key player in the Illuminati in Europe. If you'd like to hear the interview, it's up on our internet site at RadioLiberty.com. last Tuesday. All right, who do we have on the line here? Who am I? Is John here?
Yeah, Dr. Stan?
Yeah, go ahead. Hey. Is John from Yakima?
Yeah, I'm up here in Yakima.
Okay, fine. You have a question or comment?
Just a comment.
Go ahead.
Just wanted to, I guess I just wanted to call up. I was listening there, and I was just thinking how important it is and how special we are just as Christians to have a God the way we have, to look down on us and to call us out of the mess that, man, this world is in.
Amen to that.
You know, it's such a special thing. I was thinking about my father when this other guy was talking, how, you know, he survived the Death March of Bataan, 4-year captivity. And it messed him up for life. You know, I mean, when he got home, he was a shell, and he didn't last too long. He ended up taking his life. And, you know, after, you know, about 5, 6, 7 years ago now, I've been listening to you, and I guess I caught the same disease, you know, because now I'm a conspirator in that, you know. And the more I read, the more I see how our government has, you know, really turned a back on us.
Well, but it's not our government. America's a great country. It's the wicked people who've seized control of the reins of power. They're the ones that were our enemy, not our government.
You're right.
But the wicked people out there who tie into this whole satanic conspiracy.
Right. Yeah, America's the best idea there ever was. You know?
Right. And we better take our country back. That's what it's all about.
I hear you. Well, I just wanted to check on in again.
All right, John, and I share your concern. I know how strongly you must feel about it, and I thought that call we had of talking about the war profiteers over in Iraq is really, that's what it's, at least part of what it's about. Some people are making an awful lot of money, but of course it's really, of course, it's a great diversion to keep us from seeing what's going on here at home, I believe.
Yeah, it breaks your heart when you see some of the guys around town. I used to volunteer at the VA, which I'll probably do again. And, you know, a lot of those needs aren't getting met, and there's no call for that.
I know, and of course, so many of them come back with brain injuries, so many of them are casualties, but so many of them, of course, will never be the same because of what they've been forced to do and what they saw.
Yeah.
And of course, this destroys the very soul of the people. And we need to reach them with the Lord because that's the only salvation that they have. The only way they can forgive themselves for what they've done is to know that the Lord will forgive them.
That was the only thing my father could do at the end there.
Right. Anyway, God bless.
Okay, Dr. Stan, you have a good night.
And you do, too. And thanks so much for calling. And that was John calling from Yakima. And well, of course, we'll have an open line again on Wednesday. But then we'll be prepared for it, and we'll have something to talk about this evening. We had nothing pre-prepared, and, well, of course, we'll have to find out what happened to our regularly scheduled guest. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and certainly we. This is the time when I need to remind all of our listeners out there that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and as you know, we actually have over 60 outlets every week, shortwave, internet, radio stations. Certainly our Saturday radio station program goes to well over 30, I think pretty close to 35 stations every week. But quite frankly, we need your help to maintain the outreach that we have. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and you're in a position to do it, and believe me, I know many of you are not in a position to do it, but if you are in a position, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And then, of course, we want, of course, to take the time to mention that if you'd like to understand the spiritual forces behind what's going on, you'll certainly want to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or if you can't get that, you can go up on our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, and punch on the DVDs. You can actually see the talk on DVD from which the book actually came. The advantage to having the book is you'll have all the documentation, but certainly the story is told in The Brotherhood of Darkness, and you can get the CD from us, or you can watch it for nothing on our website at radioliberty.com. And then, of course, once you begin to understand the spiritual component of what's going on, then, of course, we hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to my talk on the forbidden secret, because there is a forbidden secret. that's been passed down for thousands of years through the secret societies and the mystery religions. And only recently, of course, has it been popularized on, by Oprah Winfrey and by Larry King and by Jim Carrey. And of course, that is the fact that there really is a force out there that you can tap into. And you can tap into it. You can get great wealth and great power. And, of course, they're encouraging you to tap into that. And we're telling you, do not tap into that. Stick with the Bible and stick with the God of the Bible, because there is another God out there, and that is the one that they're worshiping, not the God of the Bible. And until Christians understand that there is another God, and of course that is Lucifer himself, of course the prince of this world, and he's here, and his dominions are here, and his demons and his supporters are here, and this is not imaginary. There really is a spiritual battle that's going on in the other dimension, but there's some people who can actually go from one dimension to the other. In fact, we actually have carry a book by Tom Horn, a factual book called Stargate. And, of course, there are people like, of course, certainly Aleister Crowley and the gentleman who actually created Scientology, who actually claimed that they were able to get into the Stargate and contact the other dimension. And, of course, we have my talk on the forbidden secret, and we hope that you'll want to get that along with the syllabus that comes with that. And then, of course, my talk on the planned police state. And, of course, there's a syllabus that comes with that, because we want you to have the documents. We have a talk called either Iraq, the Untold Story, or War, the Untold Story. And they're basically the same story, given the talks we've given at different times, but there's a syllabus that goes with that. You need to have the information at your fingertips so you can document what we're telling you. So again, that is certainly the forbidden secret, the planned police state, and then, of course, there's the Iraq, the Untold Story, or War, the Untold Story. And then, of course, certainly the very, very professionally done DVDs, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, and another one called Riddles in Stone, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. And there you'll hear, a high-ranking Mason saying, 50 years ago we couldn't have talked about these things. People, of course, could have been executed for saying what I'm going to be talking about today, because, of course, the true purpose of the upper echelon of Masonry is to contact the other dimension. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our website, RadioLiberty.com. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king, but as a battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And, of course, this next hour, they're going to be the views of Barry Shamish. Now, Barry is an Israeli patriot, and he has spent certainly the better part of 20 years, or maybe even more, as an investigative reporter over in Israel and covering all sorts of corruption in the background behind many of the strange murders that have taken place and the assassination of the Prime Minister Rabin back, I believe, 1995. And he's actually, through his influence, convinced almost half of the religious Jews in Israel that Rabin was actually assassinated as part of a government plot to bring, of course, another prime minister into power. Well, of course, Barry, of course, eventually, because of the exposures and the exposés that he carried out, he had attempts on his life and was forced to flee to the United States. And, of course, Israel's loss is our gain, because we have Barry with us on a regular basis. He's written at least 9 books, maybe more than that, and he has a fascinating amount of material, and it's all covered and documented in his books, where the information has come from, and you'll get an entirely different view of what you think you know about Israel by listening to Barry Shamish. So without further ado, Barry, it's so good to have you with us again.
Well, I'm always glad to be here. This evening is a very complicated story.
All right, well, they're always complicated, but we're looking forward to hearing. Go right ahead.
I would say this is outstandingly complicated. I wrote an article just yesterday about Olmert's crime. Why everyone thinks that he's going to be removed from power. Well, up until now, the mainstream media have come up with nothing, because there's a gag order on the crime. The interrogations, the police interrogations are not being released, and for some reason, unlike many other criminals, if not all of them, there's no information coming out. Now, just so you know, there's one accuser that's got Olmert on the ropes. On serious bribery charges, and his name is Morris Talansky. We have to do this story very, very slowly, or it won't make any sense. And by the way, I made notes, and 2 hours from now, we wouldn't be through all the connections to Olmert's crimes. I mean, this man really is a criminal, and his associates are all criminals, and the crimes are extremely, if we carried it to the extreme, it's all the way to the World Trade Center. But we won't do that right now. We'll start with the crime that exists. And the accuser is Morris Talansky. He has been telling the police something so fantastic that the leaks are that Olmert is finished, which, of course, the Bush regime does not want to see happen. But I finally figured out, and no one else has, by the way, I finally figured out what the crime is. And I wrote a very long piece yesterday where I didn't do the writing. I just presented the facts. Do I hear music?
You hear music, and we're going to have to go into a break here. Our guest this evening is Barry Shamish. We're going to get into the background of the so-called crimes of the Prime Minister of Israel, Mr. Olmert, and, of course, why he will be removed from office, or may be removed. Go right ahead, Barry.
Well, I'm not sure he will be. In fact, I called the article The Crime That Will Go Away, because it will go away. Criminals know how to cover up, and they know how to hurt people, and they know how to murder people. They can cover up crimes, but nonetheless, let's look at who Morris Talansky is, who is accusing Olmert of serious bribery. In actual fact, Olmert opened up a straw charitable organization called the New Jerusalem Fund. And for 9 years, Talansky was the chief money launderer in the United States for Olmert when he was mayor of Jerusalem, and later on when he joined the government before he became prime minister. It was Talansky who was giving to Olmert's charity, so-called charity, that the money was not given to Olmert himself. It was given to someone named Uri Messer. That's the next name, Uri Messer. But I'm going to try and keep this simple. And for 9 years, that's what Talansky did. He funneled money from the United States to Olmert, and it was used illegally, but it was used, I think, mostly for campaign funds. But there was one incredible crime that would bring Olmert down. Illegal campaign funds won't do it. Everyone in Israel does it. If that were the case, you'd have no one in power. But Morris Talansky was a major shareholder in a company called ImageSat. This company sold Israeli satellite space to anyone who was willing to pay $20 million a year for some satellite space. They could get it with Israeli satellites. Keep that in mind. Okay, the first thing, ImageSat was the company that Morris Talansky was a major shareholder of. Next, two Israeli companies, Israel Aircraft Industry and something called Elbit, took a lot of trouble to get investors to join this company. From 1994 to the year 2000, they raised about $120 million.
Hold that thought for just a moment. We're going to be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Barry is simply talking about what Olmert's real crime was, and apparently there's this other fellow over here in the United States who had been laundering money, I should say feeding money to Olmert, that was to some sort of a organization he had over there. This money was used for campaign contributions. But, of course, there was one instance, of course, that where, of course, that a major crime was committed, and that was apparently there was a Israeli satellite that was selling space on this satellite to various companies, you know, and you had large contributions, a few million dollars, $10 million, $11 million, and you get space on this satellite, and of course, the American gentleman who made the charges against Olmert was deeply involved in the company that was going to put up the satellite. So pick up the story from there, Barry.
Well, space means time, really. How much time you get on the camera, and what images will be forwarded to you. That's what satellite space is. It's not actual space. It's electronic space. Now, this company was founded originally by two Israeli government companies, but it had no money. It raised the money in New York. And by the year 2000, it had raised $120 million, of which a significant chunk of that money came from Morris Talansky. Next, a deal was signed with Israel Aircraft Industries or the Israeli government, because it's a government company, so you may as well just say the Israeli government, that's who owns Israel Aircraft Industries, with their private owners. They put together a company with a board, and they would own ImageSat. They were the new owners. And a deal was signed, and Israel said that they had carte blanche recruit customers, but no they gave specific customers, well, potential customers, who couldn't use the satellite, and they were all Arab countries in a 1,500-mile radius of Israel. After that, anyone could use it. And this was signed with ImageSat, and the Board of Israel sat, went to work trying to make some money. Now, the real problem occurred in the year 2002. The company had just got going privately, and there was a customer by the name of Hugo Chavez. He happened to be the president of Venezuela, and he actually signed with the company for $18 million a year. He bought satellite space. And they were the same company, the private investors, were also working hard and apparently coming very, very close to contracts with Russia and Angola. The Israeli government reneged on the contract. Just simply reneged on the contract, undoubtedly from American pressure. Undoubtedly. The Americans hate Chavez. They certainly don't want to give him a satellite space on any satellite, Israeli or not. Russia, I don't even understand. The Cold War is over. Angola is a satellite of Russia. Why they should even care about these countries? But they did. And the Americans pressed Israel, the State Department, of course, what else, that the contract with Venezuela cannot go through, and future contracts with Russia or Angola can't go through. In other words, the board of ImageSat, who had put up $120 million for this company, were not going to be able to make a dime. Okay, they cut into their business. On the board of ISRASAT, once again, it's Morris Talansky. Now, I'm giving an overall. We're going to go into Talansky very shortly, but let's keep it simple for now. There is a company that has a board meeting. There are about 10 people on the board, including Talansky, who are saying we got to do something about these Israelis. They're going to ruin our investment. They're not going to let us get customers. And by the way, they were right from their point of view. Whether you like Venezuela or don't like Venezuela, a contract was signed that said Venezuela it was permitted to sell to Venezuela. Other countries include India, permitted. The only countries that weren't permitted were Cuba, North Korea, and Iran, outside the Arab countries. And all the rest were permitted. So first of all, they sued. ISRASAT sued, essentially the Israelis. Israel Aircraft Industries and Elbit, were the companies that developed the satellite. They were sued in the year 2002. For racketeering, by the way. The charge was racketeering, that they ripped off $120 million. They didn't live up to the contract. On the other hand, knowing who Chavez is and knowing who Venezuela is, they certainly could not have been very good for Israel to begin with. So it's two very, very, racketeers. You got racketeers from both sides, and we'll get into that. But Morris Talansky must have sat at the board meeting and said, I have been funneling money to an Israeli politician. He was mayor of Jerusalem. The year was 2002, and he said that he's about to take a giant step forward with a little help. We have an insider who can get us our contracts. He likes money an awful lot. All we have to do is funnel him money. He'll do anything for money. This was in the summer of 2002. Talansky, in my opinion, started funneling a lot of money at Olmert. And in the year January of 2003, Olmert was the campaign chairman for the Likud party. I'm sorry, I forgot. He left Likud. He was now Kadima party. How silly of me. was the campaign manager for Kadima. In the year 2003, after they won the election, Olmert named himself one Minister of Industry and two Minister of Communications in charge of all the satellites that Israel would ever produce and all the industry Israel would ever produce. He was now going to fix up that silly little contract that the government was reneging on. He, for a lot of money, by the way, they're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's just bribes that people know about. I assume that it's probably a fraction of Olmert's overseas bank deposits. Olmert was being paid by Talansky and his company ImageSat to get the contract that was reneged on, the Israeli government contract, fixed up. It's that simple. When he got into power in January of 2003, he named himself the minister in charge of communications, in charge of Israeli satellites. And that is the money that is the bribe. It is, first of all, most Israelis don't want to give satellite space to an ally of Iran like Venezuela. So there's all kinds of problems about Israeli security. As for Russia and Angola, they're not exactly natural Israeli allies either, but Olmert was going to use his bribe money as Minister of Industry and Minister of Communications. He was going to get Hugo Chavez his satellite space, and that's what he was bribed to do. It's a nasty little bribe, and it's not just taking money and having a good time and going to hotels and staying overnight at somebody's expense. This was fooling around with Israeli security.
All right, so basically, of course, but why does Polanski come forward at this present time then?
Well, first of all, I actually get to that shortly.
All right, you go ahead then.
Olmert couldn't deliver the goods. Hello?
Yeah, okay, Olmert, in other words, Greg, Nick
Olmert
his promise.
Had two very serious roadblocks. Number one was Sharon. Sharon was not willing to override Israel Aircraft Industries and its defense ministry and let Israel hand over satellite space on Israeli satellites to Hugo Chavez. Now, I don't want to go into the Sharon murder right now, but I am going to say something, and later on, another show, maybe even this show, the last person that Olmert saw alive, his last appointment was with Ehud Olmert. He signed a couple of papers granting Olmert the position of prime minister if anything ever happened to Sharon.
And of course, Sharon drank some tea and suddenly had a stroke. And
No, this was a cerebral hemorrhage.
Cerebral.
The stroke was 3 weeks earlier on December 18th.
All right.
This was on January 4th, 2006. The stroke didn't do it. The cerebral hemorrhage did do it. Maybe we'll devote ourselves to a show on the murder of Sharon. But just keep in mind, Sharon stood in Olmert's way. Sharon had a meeting with him, and Sharon had a cerebral hemorrhage very shortly after the meeting.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. All right, go right ahead, Barry.
Needless to say, that involves Shimon Peres, but we're not going to do that today, or we'll get lost. We're going to try and stick with this of why Olmert is going to be, why they think he's going to leave office. I'm not so sure. But now let's look at Morris Talansky. Number one, let's answer your question. Who was the second roadblock? The second roadblock was the State Department of the United States. They didn't want Chavez getting the satellite space from Israel. So we have to overcome Sharon. Sharon he overcame. I'm going to make that claim right now, and later on at some other time we'll dive into that. Sharon was murdered. Well, he's alive. He's waiting in hospital for a brain transplant, but he's still alive. But they got rid of Sharon, and I say it was deliberate. And there's a lot of reasons for saying that, and I say Olmert was involved in that big time. However, let's stick with this bribe for now. Talansky, who was he? And then I started diving. And by the way, people helped me. I have to be extremely grateful for my sources. They are really people who are so in touch with what's going on, and there aren't many of us. But I was given lots of information. And number one, Morris Talansky is a rabbi. He received his degree from Yeshiva University, and this is important. I'm going to remind you of something that the Pope came to America 3 weeks ago, and he went to a Jewish synagogue. The synagogue was Rabbi Arthur Schneer. Rabbi Arthur Schneer has a scholarship at Yeshiva University in foreign affairs. It was donated, along with the building, by Daniel Abraham. Daniel Abraham is a very, very criminal character, but what it comes down to with Daniel Abraham was another scandal in Jerusalem. Has Daniel Abraham buying Olmert's apartment for three times its worth to give Olmert a couple million in his back pocket, and this is viewed as no coincidence. He's also being investigated for that. Daniel Abraham of Slim Fast Foods, he donated his private jet to Wayne Owens, the Utah congressman, who arrived in Israel on the jet and was dead within 10 hours. These are very criminal people. Now, for the time being, remember Arthur Schneer and forget Daniel Abraham, or we're really going to get lost. Because, believe it or not, the Pope's visit to America is directly connected to Olmert. Directly. Let's look at Talansky first.
All right, fine. Well, let's sort of hold off for just a minute as we bring our other stations from all across America back online here, as we and Barry will get into who is Morris Talansky right now. All right, Barry, you're going to tell us that about who is Morris Talansky, this man who is the informant who is coming forward and saying that he was sending bribe money to Olmert, who is the Prime Minister of Israel, and Olmert, of course, is being investigated at this time. And this is probably the worst time that this information could come out. I mean, Israel may well be on the brink of war, and of course you need strong leadership there that people have confidence in. And I don't think much of anybody has confidence in Olmert at all. It's obviously he's a crook. Why is this information coming out at the present time? And who is Morris Talansky? So go ahead and tell us.
Talansky came out and said 2 days ago that he is afraid that Olmert is going to get to him. The next night or the night after, he went on TV and said, I know nothing about Olmert. I never bribed him. He denied everything. Everything. Which is what I predicted, by the way. Nonetheless, who is Talansky? Talansky is a character on The Sopranos. He's a hood. He has been indicted. There are lots of lawsuits. I'm going to give two very quickly. The issue of Mr. Talansky and his behavior to one Richard Penzer. Penzer sent out a letter to all those who were donating money to the Sherazadek Hospital. It's a little complicated, but in short, Polanski sued him for saying that his goal is the express, here's the quote, the express goal of extorting money. That's what he said, and they had a court case. And what do we find out about Mr. Polanski? One night at Scores, a topless bar in Manhattan, he's a rabbi, going to a topless bar in Manhattan, where he meets Mr. Michael Sciotto, who told the police and signed a written affidavit that Mr. Polanski asked him to shake Mr. Penzer up and get his money back. All right, that's the first shakedown. The next shakedown, the defendant's name was Frederick Schulman. He said that Mr. Polanski sent thugs to his home to shake him down and collect money from him. Polanski is a hood. He's a first-class hood. He's the one whose testimony Israel police is using to get Olmert. Now, I want to make a point, and it's a really important point. In the year 2003, Polanski is, in my opinion, and by the way, the evidence is really good, he's funneling money at Olmert, who is now the Minister of Communications and Industry, to get Israelsat its contracts back with Venezuela, Russia, and Angola. Venezuela has signed for $18 million a year. The other two were close. In that same year, in the year 2003, he gave a substantial contribution to President George W. Bush. I don't know what that means. I just don't like coincidences. My wild guess was that Bush just leave this Israelsat alone and let business take place without interference of the State Department. I'm sorry, it's called ImageSat. I may have made that mistake. ImageSat is the name of the company. My feeling was that the substantial contribution to Bush was to let Olmert deal with ImageSat the way he wants it to be, the way we want it to be, and that is apolitical. When they signed their contract with the Israeli government, or I say it over and over again, Israel Aircraft Industries. And by the way, I want you to note that when I was in Israel, I was the correspondent for a while for Space News. I knew these people. At least I had interviewed them. I knew what their project was. What the deal was the American board that had paid $120 million for ImageSat would decide the customers. That was the deal, and that is why they were sued in the New York court, because the Israelis broke the deal. That $2 million to Bush, or wait, I don't know the exact figure. Let's just say substantial contribution was probably to get Bush to let ImageSat and Olmert continue with the bribes and get business going again. Now, again, I want to add, Uli Messer, is that music I hear?
That's music you hear, right? We've got about 10 seconds. Well, why don't we just hold off until we get back here? Our guest is Barry Samuelson. We're going into all the corruption involved surrounding Olmert, who's being investigated today by the Israeli police. Well, Dr. Stan, go right ahead, Barry. So anyway, you're going the background of this. Of course, there's a large contribution made to George Bush. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to be able to give more than $2,000, but they can always find ways away. And besides that, I mean, who is going to question the countless millions of dollars that are given to our political candidates for the presidency, and especially, of course, once they win? Go right ahead with the story.
Yeah, I assume that contribution had a little more significance by its timing of the year 2003. But again, I'm keeping this simple. If this is simple, we're now going, and I'm going to remind you of Uri Messer. He's the bagman for Olmert. He's the one that Talansky gives the money to so that Olmert can claim someday that he never got money from Talansky. That's the game they were playing. Okay, he's got an excuse. I never saw the money. He can say that in court. He can tell the police that I never got money from Talansky. But Uri Messer did. All right, that's the game they were playing. We know that game. It's played all the time, providing excuses, and that was the excuse. Uri Messer got the money from Talansky. Now, who is Uri Messer? Why, it just so happens that his wife, Davida Lachman-Messer, is the Deputy Attorney General of Israel. This is so stupid. I mean, if the corruption wasn't so high up, if you didn't get ahead for being a total crook, and if the people at least could share in this wealth somehow, which they don't, they're being robbed every which way, maybe there'd be a happy ending here, but no, no happy ending. Uri Messer's wife, Davida Lachman-Messer, is not only the deputy attorney general, and they decide on law in Israel. I mean, it's same as in America. The attorney general is your chief judge. Not only is his wife the deputy, it gets worse. She's in charge of the tax and corporate division of the attorney general's office. In other words, what her husband is doing is against every one of her laws. And you can almost be certain, I don't know this, but you can be almost be certain that her husband's and Olmert's monies, dirty, filthy bribes on behalf
of... Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment.
Right.
Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris Berry's telling us the story about the bribery that goes on behind the scenes in Israel today. But before we do, Berry, I want you to get your website out. I want you to tell people how they can get your books and, of course, how they can get your DVDs.
Sure. The books, you go to lulu.com, www.lulu.com. You'll see a little box that says search right in my name. Chamish, Chamish. My website is berrychamish.com. For the DVDs, well, I have one that covers Olmert pretty good. It's called Take Back Israel. It's not on Lulu. You have to phone me. You just dial 904-501-7605. That's 904-501-7605. And I'll send you the DVDs. I'll tell you what they are by phone and send them to you at a very good price. Now we go, again, I'm trying to keep this simple. It was, by the way, very difficult to write this article. I had to sort this thing out by myself. So you're getting it secondhand from someone who went through this stuff. These are very odd names. You've never heard them before. Just know that the bagman for Olmert, the one taking the money from Talansky, is Uri Messer, whose wife is the Deputy Attorney General of the State of Israel. In charge, and this is even worse or funnier, in charge of the Tax and Corporate Matters Division of the Attorney General's Office. She was covering up Olmert. She was covering up her husband's misdeeds. That's how this went on for 10 years. It's really a very, very high-level plot involving remember, not many countries have satellites. It's a very complicated thing to build your own satellite and have the ability to sell spy imagery. They're selling spy imagery. I told you I worked for this it's called Space News. It was a very big magazine, and I went to these companies and I saw what their cameras can do. They can read a license plate from space. These people were selling security, but they were selling it to Israel's enemy on one hand, but on the other hand, the Israeli government told them they could. So everybody is lying, everybody. But Olmert is taking the point of view that I'll make a little money if we change the law and make sure that Angola, Russia, and Venezuela get to use our satellites for whatever security needs they may have. Now, that's the main bribe. And how much money? It's not a thing with where you got hotels or call girls or the usual bribe. This is a very, very serious bribe. But it gets worse. I think it gets worse. Now, again, I have people who really help me out. And one of them said, did you know that the president of Kadima, remember, Kadima is Olmert's party. Olmert is the head of the Kadima party. Lest we get you all confused, that is the name of his party. Alright, well, the head of the American, the president of the American Kadima movement is no less than Mark Schneer. He is the son of the rabbi who invited the Pope to speak at his synagogue. Now, fine and dandy. Okay, another coincidence. It is not a coincidence. As I said, Rabbi Schneer works with Daniel Abraham, and they have completely corrupted the Yeshiva University, where the rabbis, like Talansky, are now being educated by the New World Order, literally by the likes of Daniel Abraham, teaching them about the teachings of the Council on Foreign Relations. All of this is really happening. It really is happening, but I don't want to get us lost again. The vice president of Kadima in the United States is Mark Michan. All right? Mark Michan is who is second in charge of Olmert's party in America, raising money. And as the person told me, you can be darn sure that Talansky's money went through Michan one way or another, back to Messer and then back to Olmert. But let's look at who Olmert prefers as his coordinator in the United States. Forget the rabbi who brought in the Pope, and believe me, I'm not, but for the time being, Mark Michan, his passport was taken from him, and he will probably go to jail for a great number of crimes involving fraud. The one he was last convicted of was duping a woman of $100,000, claiming he was a mortgage negotiator, forging signatures, forging letters of intent, and just taking her money and never returning it. For that, the New York State Supreme Court took Michan's passport away. He claimed that he has family in Israel. They couldn't care less. But that's just the start of Olmert's second in charge in America. I'm trying to explain to you people, we are talking about a mafia, the real thing. And if we have time, I'm going to go into how big this mafia gets. But let's look at the previous crime of the Kadima Party, the bribery, the satellite imagery, and now we're talking about Mark Michan, who, in the United States, in New York, went into the Jewish charity business, robbed the Jewish charities, signed checks to himself, and, well, what can you say? He has numerous suits against him, numerous crimes against him. He's a racketeer, and he is the Kadima USA Vice President. Kadima USA President is President Mark Steer. What we're talking about is gets worse because there was a report, and it was sent to me from the World Net Daily. The Israeli consulate was still booking Mishan to represent Kadima at its official events, and the World Net Daily phoned up the office of Rabbi Schneer and asked him outright if he was working with the criminal Mishan. They referred him to a PR firm in Jerusalem. They were afraid to answer the truth. And 2 days later, they phoned the office again, and the secretary for Schneer answered that Mishan continues to work and speak for Kadima in an official capacity. They're all crooks. All of them. Everyone surrounding Olmert is crooked. And now he's got a bribery charge because, again, I'm doing this as slowly as possible, because he was trying to get satellite spy space for, well, let's just say a company that invested a lot of money, and they got really, really so mad that they hired Talansky to use Olmert to get their spy space freed up again. Olmert failed. He got screwed up. He failed. And then I believe they sent Talansky. They lost a lot of bribery money to Olmert, and they must have been mighty ticked off. I believe they sent Talansky to get massive revenge on Olmert. That's what I believe happened. But they don't know how vicious Olmert is, and if Talansky opens his mouth to the police, he is going to die. It's that serious. Now, I add one last thing. Uri Messer, remember him? He's the bagman for Olmert, who took the money from Talansky. He had a most peculiar car accident, I believe it was last week, where a very peculiar car accident, and all in all, that's what they do in Israel. If you threaten the ruling part, if you threaten anyone with power in Israel, you are going to find yourself in a car accident, and I assume he got the message.
In other words, he didn't die in the accident.
Oh, no, he's alive. They didn't have to kill him yet. If he opens his mouth, he knows the next accident won't be so benign.
Well, it's unfortunate, but this is the sort of world we live in, a totally corrupt world. Well, of course, this man sounds like he's pretty corrupt, too, but if he could be an embarrassment to the powers that be, why, of course, they will eliminate him, as we've seen the murder of American presidents, their brother, Martin Luther King, certainly other key people in our country have been simply systematically eliminated. So it shouldn't be any different over there in Israel. Go ahead.
Well, why don't we go... and really, now this is a more serious crime that I'm just soaking this in. Remember, I only wrote this yesterday, and I'm just soaking it in. Did you follow it, by the way?
Yes, I did pretty well, because I'd had the chance of reading your article on the Internet. Can people actually find that on your website?
It'll be up within a day or two. If you really want the article, write me at Chamish, C-H-A-M-I-S-H, at gmail.com. Oh, I did it wrong. Chamish B-A. That's C-H-A-M-I-S-H-B-A. Chamish B-A at gmail.com. I'll send it to you. Now I'm going to do something to let you know how serious Olmert's criminality really is.
All right, go ahead.
Pardon me?
Go right ahead.
How much time do we have?
We've got about 16 minutes.
All right. I can handle this. That's plenty of time. Now, by the way, when we speak on other shows, there'll be commercials, and it'll be timed differently. I want to get this message through that Olmert is a natural criminal. He can't help himself. What he did was sell Israel security for bribes. That is why the police say he's finished as prime minister. That is why there's a gag order on this whole case. That is why Talansky was threatened. That is why Messer was almost run down in his car. You've got the Murderama team at work right now. That's what's going on in Israel. And by the way, I am not dramatizing anything. Not a word is dramatized. That's the way things operate there, at the top. The people, of course, are trying to pay their bills and don't know anything, but that's what goes on at the top. Now, I wrote a book. It came out in the year 1991. It was called The Fall of Israel. It was a big book, hardcover book, in England. It received, well, I'm very proud of this. I mean, it received a lead review in The Economist. Yes, I had the lead review in The Economist one week. Not to mention at least half the British media, the big ones, Sunday Telegraph and whatever. This was a pretty big book. I wrote it, and Olmert was my villain.
You know, of course, what was the title of the book?
The Fall of Israel.
Oh, The Fall of Israel, okay.
What I claimed is that if the Israeli system can't pull Olmert out of politics for all the crimes he had committed in the 80s, believe me, he was cited by the Attorney General as the crookedest politician in Israeli history. He was really a rotten egg way back then. I said, if you can't pull him out of politics, he is going to fail. His rot will fail Israel. It was a major thesis of my book. Now, I'm going to tell you about one incident, just one, and where it led to. Olmert was the accountant for the Likud party in the late 1980s. He was the co-accountant. His partner was Menachem Asmon. They were both indicted. Olmert stayed out of prison. Don't even ask how. I don't know how he did that. He shouldn't have stayed out of prison. He took illegal financial contributions. He set up straw companies. He did everything you're not supposed to do, but Asmon did go to prison. But Asmon apparently was very, very well rewarded for taking the rap. He left in 1996, and he went on. He was given the CEO. This is after he was in prison, no less. He was the CEO at the top of the security company, which on September 11th, 2001, were in charge of Newark and Logan airports.
That's
he
where
decided what went on every single airport of, well, with the planes of 9/11 came out of Logan and Newark Airport. That was Menachem Asmon. Now, let's just say that's a coincidence. Olmert's keeping bad company. And that's what I wrote, by the way. When I discovered this, I didn't want to jump to any conclusions. But Olmert is being invested for another scandal right now in Israel. Olmert, in the year 2005, became finance minister. This was when Netanyahu quit over the, it was a phony quit, but over the Gaza withdrawal, Netanyahu quit the government. And he brought in Olmert as finance minister of the country. During that brief tenure, and it was recent, by the way, he had the right to sell whatever properties the government owned and were trying to get rid of. He was the finance minister. He was in charge of privatizing industry. That's what a finance, that's one of the jobs that a finance minister is in charge of. He tried to sell the country's third largest bank, Bank Leumi, for a bargain basement price. It was a giveaway to Frank Lowy. Now let me tell you the second coincidence, and this one led me to believe many things, but Frank Lowy owned the ground floor of the World Trade Center. He owned 440,000 square feet of sales. He owned the ground floor, all of it, and he collected millions after Larry Silverstein. It was Frank Lowy who collected the most from the fall of the World Trade Center. He owned, for 99 years, he owned 440,000 square feet of the World Trade Center.
Hold on, we're done now. Just a moment, our guest is Barry Shamish. All right, Barry, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Oh, really?
Right.
All right, you get the idea. How does somebody have friends like Asmon, like Lowy, like Daniel Abraham, like, well, needless to say, it goes without doubt that Morris Polanski is just one of, and by the way, Mark Mishan and Rabbi Arthur Schneer and his son Mark, these are all the crooks of Judaism. Omer is tied up hand to hand with the ultimate godfather, that's Shimon Peres, the president of Israel. Now, I do this not bad because this is an impossibly difficult story to tell. But the prime minister of Israel, Ehud Olmert, and the president of Israel, Shimon Peres, are two of the most murderous, crooked Jews on the face of the earth. And if you're wondering why Israelis don't feel like celebrating their 60th anniversary, it's because these two clowns, Olmert and Peres, are running their country. I don't know if I got it through this. This was actually an important interview, but it was also a very, very complicated story to tell.
Well, of course, they're not running, they're ruining Israel. I think that these people, of course, have no loyalty to Israel. They, of course, are doing exactly what they're told.
They're doing whatever it takes to make money. I never believed that crooks could have so little conscience. Peres and Olmert have no conscience whatsoever. Next time I'll talk about Olmert's family. Three children, one lesbian daughter, one homosexual son, and one son who is opposed to the draft in Israel, Yusuf, and a wife who hangs out with the PFLP. You should see the family.
Well, you don't certainly paint a very appealing picture of them, do you?
He's the president. He may be the last president of Israel. This at a time when Hezbollah has as good as taken over Lebanon, and Israel is really, really in for it, and soon.
Well, I'm really very, very concerned about the future of Israel, but we're just going to have to wait and see how this story unfolds. Our guest has been Barry Shamish. Always a fascinating story, Barry, and we appreciate that. We'll look forward to talking to you again tomorrow morning.
You betcha.
Good night.
See you then.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, Barry is, of course, a regular guest here at Radio Liberty. His stories are complex, but they're always informative and right, correct. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course this is the time I need to remind our listeners, Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you'd be interested in helping us, and you're able to, and we know many of our listeners now are hurting, but if you're able to help us, why, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. You can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, or certainly you can subscribe to our newsletter, whatever you feel that you're capable of doing. And incidentally, our newsletter is coming out now on email, so save us the 41 cents. Really, it costs us about $1 to mail the prepare, print, and mail the newsletter. So if you'd like to get it by email, it'll be a lot easier on us. And of course, it'll be very easy for you to take that newsletter and suddenly email it to others. That's what we want to do, and so you wouldn't even have to copy them. You'll just press the buttons, and you can send our newsletter to a dozen of your friends, and that's how we're expanding our influence across America. Now, certainly we want to, of course, caution many of our listeners that we're in for what I believe are very, very bad times. If we do go to war with Iran, as I fear we will, can't say for certain, but everything points to the fact that the only way they're going to get John McCain into the White House is to expand the war in the Middle East. And after all, if we were at war with Iran and facing serious consequences here at home, who would you want to have in the White House? Would you want to have Obama? Would you want to have Hillary Clinton? Would you want to have John McCain? And, of course, John McCain wouldn't have created the expanded war. He'd simply be the man, the military family, who would be able to defend America. So I think probably that the powers that be are going to, of course, to get John McCain into the White House by expanding the war in the Middle East. Could be entirely wrong. It's just supposition. But if these things should happen, why, we could be in for some very difficult times domestically. What if we were to have a chemical, biological, or neurological, or nuclear attack on America? Are you prepared in any way? Have you made preparations? Well, we actually have a video called Sheltering in Place. It tells you how to prepare your home in case something happens and what you would do. And you certainly don't want to simply use duct tape and plastic. You'll suffocate. And then, of course, but Sheltering in Place is an excellent DVD. We have a four-tape set on civilian defense. We have a book, Surviving Our Nuclear War Survival Skills. That's Nuclear War Survival Skills, actually put out by the Department of Civil Defense back there when they were really concerned about saving American lives. But then there are too many people in our country. They feel we'd be a lot better off if we lost a lot, and so they're not having a civil defense program for the public. They have it for the elite. They have centers all across America to put the elite in, but nothing for you or for your family. So you're going to have to begin preparing for yourself. We actually have the book, Making the Best of Basics, Nuclear War Survival Skills. And if you're interested, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And then if you have not yet, of course, put in a supply of emergency food, if you'd like information on how to do that, our number 1-800-544-8927, the things that you would really need. And then, of course, if you would like, of course, to actually have a the health products on hand. We're talking about vitamins and minerals, and that we carry something called Alibiotic, which is made up of oil of oregano and garlic and elderberry juice and oil, and then several other products that really will help maintain your health and boost your immune system. If you'd like our health catalog, give us a call. And if you'd like one of our regular catalogs, we'd be glad to send it to you. If you'd like one of our newsletters,